Welcome to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos. I run a tutoring company for K through 12 students who need help with reading, math, writing, study skills, ACT, SAT, prep, and more. My tutors work both virtually and in person. We specialize in really getting to know your kids and helping them thrive. I was a teacher and leader in a Georgia school system for 25 years. I saw what worked and what didn't. And there are definitely some gaps that teachers can't touch, which is why our tutors are so important. Teachers can only do so much. I'm here to bridge that gap between parents and teachers, to help your kids become successful in school and beyond. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos, and I am back again. First of all, I definitely do want to say Happy New Year 2024. This season will be rolling out in February around Valentine's Day, but I definitely want to, bring awareness to the new year, and I hope and pray that everybody has a prosperous and healthy new year. Definitely healthy. A lot of sicknesses are going around right now in Atlanta, Georgia. So I know a lot of people are listening from wherever. But I do have a guest for you guys today, and her name is Dr. Patricia Franklin. Welcome, Dr. Franklin. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing great now. I'm healthy.
And we pray that you will stay that way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'll take it. Well, everybody, I wanted to, introduce to you Dr. Franklin, and she is the founder of the NEA Academy for Careers and Literacy. She is out of the Atlanta area, but I'm pretty sure she probably works virtually. Do you work virtually, Dr. Franklin?
I do. Of course.
You do. Everybody does, right? Even our business is 90% virtual now.
Yes. That
it does work if we know how to use the tools correctly, right?
Yes, indeed.
So all you guys can find Dr. Franklin on Facebook and LinkedIn, and we will have the links for you on the podcast notes. But let me begin by introducing her. She's an educator and parent support interested in helping young people enjoy success in a rapidly changing society. She is a 30-year veteran, retired educator, of reading, English, and career orientation. She has training specialties in the aviation industry, and I was just talking to her about, I didn't know this, but she's had a stint in the air traffic area, meaning air traffic controller. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Is really neat. What was your major in then? Was it education from the beginning?
I was a double major. I went to college thinking I started out with aviation as a teenager. And I learned about aviation through the Civil Air Patrol. So I was wanting to be a meteorologist. And then the chemistry hit me in college. And I said, let me become a major in speech communication and secondary ed. So I came out with double degree. Love it.
Took me
four and a half years to do it, but I did. Came out with double degree, and I've never not worked. But I love teaching. I love communicating and working on so many different levels with kids and with folks who just enjoy thinking and learning.
And here you're retired, but you're still working. Part-time.
I am retired. Yes, I'm retired from the public school classroom, but I'm working because I am passionate that I know our children need things and I have it for them.
Yeah, I kind of jumped into your journey already a little bit. So if you want to add any more and supplement what we haven't already said, hey, go for it.
I was a proud bookworm in high school, okay? I loved reading. I loved finding out things. If the internet had been when I was a kid, I don't know what I would have done, because I loved reading. And the librarians knew me at all of my schools, okay?
Yeah.
So when I when I became a teacher, reading was my thing. And I became a reading specialist when I realized again that in schools, we have so many kids who are encouraged to read, but don't want to read because they haven't found out how to find themselves in a good book. So I love introducing how to find yourself in a book, how to use books.
Well, we might have to talk about that on another podcast.
Reading is so much.
Yeah, it is. It's really big. And matter of fact, my SAT and ACT guy were just talking about that, how reading is weak because, you know, we're all pushing in the U.S. STEM, right? So now kids are leaning more towards the science and engineering technology careers and doing more of the math, and they're kind of dropping the ball a little bit on the reading. So, and we're seeing that, and the scores are reflecting that too. So actually I'm going to work on a reading club. Maybe we need to pull you in this summer to, I'm talking to my SAT guy. We're going to talk about this and see what we can do for this private school where we just did an SSAT boot camp. So we'll talk about that. But today we're going to talk about is cursive writing. Actually, guys, wow, look at that. Yes. We're talking about cursive writing. Wow, what is that? Some people are going to go, huh? What's cursive writing? It's so funny. I got to tell this story. So one of my friends or my assistant says to me one day, God, she's working at this video production place or something before she worked for me. And she said that, I don't know how old the young guy was, in his late 20s or something, he couldn't read something that was in cursive and he had to bring it to her to read. And it was stuff that was in files, right? So, oh my goodness. It like set off these, bells going off in my head, like, oh my gosh, there's going to be so much handwritten stuff that's in cursive for quite a while now that kids won't know how to read that because they're not being taught cursive.
Yes.
Oh, that's alarming. Wow, that's like,
it is.
Hey, how do you do? I remember the rotary phone and then the touch tone phone, and now we don't even have those.
right.
And I used to write checks. And I don't even write checks anymore for my company. So I'm pretty sure those are going to be going away. So this is like cursive writing, though, cannot totally go away, folks. There's many reasons why. And Dr. Franklin's going to tell us why in a minute. So why is cursive writing needed today?
We need cursive writing because it's a foundation of critical thinking and from hand to brain. Yes. Getting that knowledge cemented into the person.
I agree.
when we write, I have several friends of mine, adults, who tell me that they are used to writing. And when they type something or using their computer or whatnot, it's fast. But when they write it, it's complete, it's accurate, and they remember it.
Mm-hmm.
There is connection. In fact, there is a case in the Canadian courts right now that there's a lawsuit in the Canadian Superior Courts about a parent who's concerned that they're missing out on that cognitive connection of writing and thinking because we're not teaching cursive writing for our children. The fluency that is missed with being able to write cursive as opposed to picking up your pen and writing a letter and writing another letter and writing another letter, there is a connection to fluent writing and fluent thinking.
I agree wholeheartly. Who stopped it actually, and when did it stop? Do you know?
Yeah, I do. In the 1990s, when computers and internet became popular and became commonplace, the school system had to start teaching computing.
Right.
You can't do everything. So you take out the cursive writing and you spend time teaching computing, teaching internet, teaching research of that sort in a different, more intensive manner. So you have to cut something, and the cursive writing was what left.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that it's not still there. There are so many needs now for people to be able to read what is written by friends. There is a cursive writing organization across the nation for young people. There is competition for cursive writing. Cursive writing allows people to put ideas fluently, quickly on paper, But then also there's an artistic feature to it. It is, you know, kids used to say, I want to have my individuality. You can make your cursive writing reflect who you are. Handwriting always reflects who we are as individuals.
That's true.
Some are big, flowery writers. Others are straight, very tight writers. Mm-hmm. So who we are is reflected in our handwriting. Who we are is reflected in what we read and think about. And then when we read, write, and think in cursive, we do it fluently.
That's true. It does. It does express the person. My niece was just saying she got a card from somebody and they handwrote it. The guy handwrote it. And her comment was, oh, he has really small and tight handwriting, right? Like she noticed that about it. I don't know what that expresses exactly. I'm sure there's, you know, handwriting analysis people out there that could tell you what that means.
That's another show.
Right. That's a whole other show.
A special message from Dynamis Learning Academy. We met Michael's mom this week, and she complained that Michael has been having trouble for about 4 years in school. No matter what she did, she couldn't help him, and it didn't work. In fact, it would backfire, and they would fight. At Dynamis Learning Academy, we do not advocate that parents try to bridge the gap between what they learn at school and what the children should be learning. We do that instead by providing a specific tutor for your child's individual needs. Don't wait until your child is so far behind that it's impossible for them to recover. Reach out to Dynamis Learning Academy today to learn more about our customized tutoring solutions. We can be reached at 770-282-9931. Thank you.
If my computer is typing, why must we concern ourselves with cursive writing? Other than what you just said, anything else that you want to add about that? Because okay, so I do my cards, let's say my Christmas cards, I do them using Postables, but I still type the message and it actually looks like it's handwritten when they get it. But again, that's not the same thing. Because you do
it's
lose.
It's that personal touch. It's the same as we can go and buy Christmas gifts for family from the mall, or we can make something special for a family. Which one do people feel more appropriate with? They feel whatever they are wanting. If you want a very heartfelt item, you might go and make a cake for somebody. If you just want something that says, I thought about you, you may send it out as a computer-driven card, as an AI-identified piece. But what's the purpose? That's where we got to think about. And that's what the NEA Academy is about. We're about understanding what purpose is about, what purpose is represented. And in cursive writing, you can represent yourself as a person by being very floral and flowery and creative, or you can just use the standard print, but your handwriting represents who you are. Cursive writing allows people to write somewhat faster than print handwriting does. So if you're trying to take notes in college, I mean, I remember my college days, I would scribble some stuff and nobody else could read it, but I knew what I had written and I had good notes. I always had people coming to me looking for my notes because I had thorough notes. I wrote fast, I scribbled, but I got it down. That's what cursive allows. Now there are some who can print and print beautifully and get good notes as well. So it depends on your individuality. What do you want for yourself?
Yeah, I feel like even when I'm writing notes or whatever, taking notes, instead of, I've done both. I've typed notes from a conference on a computer. I've also handwritten it. I still feel better handwriting it. I feel like you're right. I kind of remember what I just wrote versus typing it onto a computer. And I think, I mean, this is me. Of course, it takes up more space. But even my calendar, I still write stuff on a calendar and a planner than doing the Google Calendar or something like that. Yeah. I will set up meetings with Google Calendar. But if I'm writing tasks down and things like that and what I'm going to do, I still handwrite that stuff. And I do some scripting, which is like journaling now. Mm-hmm. And that's very powerful to do handwritten. Yes. You wouldn't type that. That's something very... I won't get into it in this session, but it's very powerful when you script and talk about what you want.
It touches your soul.
Yes. Yes. That's true. So, because if I was gonna give a card to my mother, I would write it myself on a Mother's Day card. I'd go buy it and do it. The batch processing of Christmas cards, well, I sent about 40 out. I get that. But if I was going to handwrite or give my grandmother something or my godmother something or my mother something, you know, I'm going to handwrite that. That just seems much more personal. I agree. Now, and even though I'm thinking about doing cards this year because Postables just came up with a Postables Plus, where you can get 10 cards automatically and you can send one a month. And I thought about doing this program where we used to do in school, we had to write 3 positive cards to our families. It doesn't matter who. It could have been about a test. It could have been about something your child did in the classroom that day. 3 a month. And they were already pre-printed with the school's name and all that. And all we had to do is drop it in the mail. So I'm kind of going to go to that, I believe, where I send a card a month to different kids and families. I'm gonna get the same from the tutor, but then I'm gonna probably handwrite it or do it on the computer and send it out that way. Cause at least they're getting the positive note, the gratitude, and it's saying something. You know, the tutors are probably saying something while they're there, but it's different to get it on a note or in a card. And they're not expecting it that way because it's handwritten down, even if it's done by the computer, but it's like documentation, you know?
It does document. That's right. That's right. And documentation is historical. When you think about it, you go back and look at what your parents have said to you versus what your parents wrote to you. You can always remember their voice when you look at what they have said to you, but you remember their emotion when you see what they wrote to you. Parents who sent things to grandparents or kids who sent things to grandparents or vice versa, that's the heart. That's the emotion. That's the connection that we as humans have in our writing.
I know one of our podcast guests in the past, Aviva Love, does what's called family love letters. And so she gets a lot of information from the elderly person in the family and then puts these letters together for the family members. I think it's great. It's a very personalized gift in the form of a letter. I mean, you know, they can verbally say to you these things and then maybe they don't want to type it. They don't want to handwrite it as they get older. Mm-hmm. And this is how you can kind of, you say it becomes a history book, really. You could probably take those and make a history book out of it. Yeah, yes. I love that's what she does because there's really nobody else barely out there doing that. So it's like preserving your life stories.
It is. It really is. Yes. And that's the other side of losing the opportunity to write in cursive, because if we don't have people who know how to read cursive, it's like hieroglyphics to us. We don't know how to read Egyptian hieroglyphics because people didn't stay on top of passing down that knowledge. Now, some go back and guess at what it may have meant, but why do that? We have the ability to keep this understanding between ourselves and our past by way of understanding cursive writing. It is tradition in every country, every language, every culture. There is some written form that if we don't maintain it, we lose our connection to our history.
I'm going to read a testimonial someone had said, and this last line really kind of puts it all into place. Even if you've heard dozens of stories told dozens of times, you learn something new. There are small things that I didn't know or hadn't thought of in that way, described in a letter. My grandmother died just 3 weeks after I was born. I knew my mom had had a hard time, but I never had thought about just how difficult it was at the time. Reading my mom's letter gave me a better understanding of who she is and how her experience has shaped me in turn, both individually and as a parent. So how else are you going to get those, right? If you don't know how to write. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I get that people are trying to get away from the whole writing thing and condense and all this, but there's something to be said about, I don't know, the old fashioned movies, and we had the old fashioned projector and stuff like that. Yep, never to be back again. So one more question I have for you. Now that we have AI, we're talking about artificial intelligence now, how and why do you need to help somebody be a better reader? How can you help them be a better reader?
I believe that we have to find how we connect to the text. Why do people write things? They write so that someone else will know the thoughts that we have. We have to read in order to understand the thoughts that someone has sent to us. It's like, you ever watch the Terminator? They're sending messages, but if you don't know what the messenger brings, you've just lost out on all that effort. We know that people write. We know that people have so many different reasons for writing. And we know that actually scientists have done research as well. Again, there is so many different bits of information that are contained depending upon the type of writing that a person is doing. Scientific writing is different from engineering writing, which is different from history writing, which is different from medical writing, and all of them bring so many different types of information. I always like to have someone be able to find themselves in a text. If you can find how it relates to yourself, if you can find how it actually helps you to learn your own life, then you can relate to why it helps you grow. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And once you do that, then you'll find reading is a powerful thing because you're growing from what you read when you see how it affects you. I often had my students in my classroom when I taught SAT prep for my students, I had them to read texts and then do Socratic discussion. Socratic discussion is stepping out of your own personal belief, your own personal judgments, to find out what someone else carries in their understanding of a text.
Mm-hmm.
So when we carry something in a text, it's not right, it's not wrong, it's just ours. And when we realize that, you don't have to debate it in order for it to be fun to talk about. You just have to appreciate that somebody else can have a similar or different opinion about something and love what they've said. That's right. When you come to love reading.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, think about why is Taylor Swift so popular?
Yes. Yes.
It's all about stories, and she's a writer. She's writing her basically reflecting what's happened to her, and she's able, mm-hmm. she's so creative, really, to be able mm-hmm. to put that into music. You see, all of you guys that want to be music people, there's more mm-hmm. than one way to do that. Everybody does not need to be a hip-hop star or a rap star right. or whatever. Look at how she's right. doing it. She's actually doing it through the gift of she must have loved how to write. And then mm-hmm. she's figured out how to connect exactly what you just said to a whole lot of people. And it seems to be working because she's a billionaire yes. now.
Yes, yes. That's what I started doing with my students when I, as a reading specialist, I found books that I knew that they would be able to see themselves in. Then I'd build on with something else and see how does this relate to how you see the world. And my students changed from just hating reading to finding that they can find themselves in a book. Once you can find yourselves in a book, then you can find yourself in any other piece, and you can find why it does work for you or why, heaven forbid, it doesn't work for you. That is then critical reading.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I mean, if people really, I know it's boring or some people find it boring, but you got to find, I mean, I've heard a lot of kids lately go, oh, but it's so boring. I mean, I have one that I know, ooh, his mom's like, he does not like to read at all. I said, well, what's his interest in? He's got to have some interest in some genre. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he told me, I mean, I went around the room because we're doing a boot camp and he was like, I don't know. He really didn't know. So he couldn't give me anything. People, other kids could, and he really could mm-hmm. not. That was kind of alarming. I've never seen a kid not be able to tell me one genre they like. One. Mm-hmm. So that we're going to probably like work. What's that?
Does he like movies or sports or fashion? You see, all of those things are right. In a book somewhere, in a magazine. Yeah. I learned from my own son, who back in the days when we used to buy video games for kids, and I thought it was a waste of money to buy a new video game book for them to beat the game. And then I realized, wait a minute, but he's reading and learning and growing. And that's when it hit me. We got to have our kids to want to read what they want to read. Now, when that kid decides that he has something he wants to know, he'll eat it up.
Right.
And keep reading more of that text. He'll grow as a reader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I know our time's about up, and I wanted to make sure people knew how to reach you. So first of all, you have a program, you said to text cursive to 404-295-4363 to join the registration list for a Write Cursive Now event today. Yes. And to get more information about, you also have a career divers program. Do you want to say something about each one of these real quick?
Yes. The Write Cursive Now is a monthly activity I do at least once a month to teach young people about cursive writing. They can learn in 2-hour session with me how to create their first letters and how to create all of the letters. In fact, get writing done. And then follow up with 30-minute sessions throughout the month. And they'll be confident writers. That's my Write Cursive Now event. There is a charge for it, but it's not a big bad charge. And when my kids do that, they come out laughing and loving and having so much fun. I'm tickled with the changes I see from my students. And then the Career Divers course is for young people 16 to 25 who are trying to figure out what to do after high school. You know, some kids know they want to be doctors, lawyers, et cetera, et cetera. Others don't know because they haven't figured out what they like, mm-hmm. how to get to it, how do we meet such and such. Some want to be Kobe Bryant. Well, you can't be Kobe Bryant, but you can learn from Kobe how to be the best you. And that's what I ask them to do. Learn how to be the best you and how to then proceed into and go through the careers that you are interested in. It's also right. important to know what you're not interested in as just as much as what you are interested in. So we have an assessment for them to learn and then to grow.
Awesome. That's terrific. Well, folks, y'all need to take her up on this and definitely get on that Write Cursive Now at least. And then check out the Career Divers program for 16 to 25 year olds. If you're trying to figure out what to do with, you know, an older child that's just not sure where they want to go, an interest survey and stuff like that. That's a great thing. That's a good start. So, I just wanted to thank you so much for joining me. And, you know, we're excited that I've never had anybody talk about cursive, actually. And when I met you, I was like, I got to get you on this season for sure. So, well, thank you for being, gosh, you are such a hard worker, Dr. Franklin. You'll never retire, right?
And I'm having fun. I don't do anything that I don't find a way to enjoy. And that's what I encourage for my students. Find a way to enjoy what you read, and the rest of life will come along with it. It's going to be good.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you very much for your time today. And everyone, I hope you guys have a great rest of your day and week. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I hope this episode has been insightful and inspirational. Wherever you're listening, be sure to go ahead and subscribe to get the next episodes and to join our email list by going to www.dynamislearningacademy.com/podcast/. Also, it would warm my heart if you reviewed the podcast on Spotify and shared it with your community. And remember, I believe that every child would benefit from getting extra support outside the classroom, whether they are struggling or are part of an advanced or gifted program. because teachers just can't do it all. Please connect with me about our K-12 tutoring, SAT or ACT prep classes, and writing workshops to help your child excel in school. I can be reached through email at helen@dynamislearningacademy.com or by phone at 770-282-9931. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.